Well, when mental reasoning is lost, would you bow with me as we pray? Father God, as we pause once again this evening, thank you for the songs of praise. And Father, now as we look at your word for this evening, I pray that you would instruct us. I pray you would teach us. I pray, God, that through these verses you would bring challenge to our lives to live more fully, to live more faithfully, to live more servantly for you. Thank you, God, for the song Curtis sang a few moments ago, When Mercy Walked In. Father, as we look at your mercy here in this chapter, we realize, oh God, that you have given to this world many, many years to contemplate, to think about your holy word. And so tonight, Father, as we make application from this passage of Scripture to the present times that we are living in, may we be reminded that you are the God of heaven and earth, and you rule in the kingdoms of men. Bless the reading of your word, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Down through the years, two things that I've always noticed as I have dealt with senior adults, especially in their aging years of life, two particular things, statements have stood out to me through the years when people have said to me personally, I hope I never lose my mental faculties, and secondly, I hope I never lose my vision. Those are two things that seemingly are troublesome and worrisome to people today. I want to keep my mental acuity. I want to keep my mental faculties intact, and I want to be able to view life and to see life through the lens of my eyes. And down through the years, I've known people who were blind for many of the years of their life. I've known people that were sharp, who were well educated, and yet their mind drifted away from them. Tonight, as we look at when mental reasoning is lost, in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, verse 28 to 37, in the Bible that you have there in the pew, if you will take your Bible, turn it, please, to page 941. In the book of Daniel, chapter 4, we've been looking at chapter 4. This is the third week in chapter 4 as we have broken it down in the various units that are given here. But on page 941 in the ESV, the English Standard Version translation of the Bible, we see about Nebuchadnezzar's humiliation. Now, no one, remember, could interpret this dream. He had a troubling dream. It's the tree dream. He saw a tree out there in the midst that had grown up to the heavens. It was strong, and the birds nestled in this tree, and it provided shade. And this tree was strong and had yielded sustenances to all of those who came in contact with this. And of course, it was speaking about Nebuchadnezzar, his kingship, his rulership, how the nation of Babylon had grown so strong throughout the years, and they were what would be the it of the known ancient world of that day. No one could interpret this dream but Daniel. If you'll remember from this past Wednesday evening, we spoke about Daniel was troubled about it. Daniel was troubled because he had the job to relay to these people. I was reading just the other day about one of the soldiers in World War II. He was given, not an opportunity, he was given the assignment. I guess we could say it wouldn't be an opportunity, but he was given the assignment to go to the homes of parents who had lost sons and daughters in the war. And his job in the military was to accompany the body home and then to tell the parents or the wife or whomever about the one that had passed. That's a tough job. Daniel had a tough job. Daniel did not want to shirk his responsibility in any way. And so he's given the assignment here, where God and God alone interprets this dream through Daniel, who becomes the human instrumentation by which the dream will be delivered. If you'll notice from Wednesday night, Daniel was troubled about the dream. Daniel just sat in silence for a little while. And the silence, of course, was deafening. And Nebuchadnezzar tells Daniel, "Daniel, tell me the dream. Tell me what it is, regardless of what this is all about." And it took Daniel a while to muster up the courage and the boldness to extract to him what this dream was all about. The dream that was forecasted was one that forecasted divine punishment for Nebuchadnezzar in the form of insanity. Now you might say, would God do that? Would God cause someone to lose their mental reasoning? Well, he certainly did here in the book of Daniel. Let me tell you, God's word is sure. God's word will not fail. When God predicts judgment, the retribution of God is inevitable. And so notice, if you will, on page 941, as we look at chapter 4, beginning in verse 28 to verse 33, we see the coming of Nebuchadnezzar's insanity. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. Now, I want you to get that phrase. This is vitally important. Daniel has interpreted this very unseemly dream to Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, it's been 12 long months since the interpretation has been given to Nebuchadnezzar. But notice what happens. At the end of 12 months, he, speaking of Nebuchadnezzar, was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. In those ancient days, rooftops were made flat for the most part, where people could go up on the rooftop and they could have their lounging time, or they could walk up on the rooftop and they could see for miles and miles around. It's been a whole 12 months. It's been an entire year. This dream had been interpreted from those verses we looked at Wednesday night to these verses tonight in the same chapter. The 12 long months have passed. The dream has been interpreted. Nebuchadnezzar understands what the dream is all about. But just as Curtis sang about a little bit ago, God's mercy is extending out there for months. When I read this and I thought about the mercy of God that had walked into the life of Nebuchadnezzar, he gave Nebuchadnezzar an entire year to repent of his unrighteousness, but Nebuchadnezzar didn't do it. Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't do it. This morning in Sunday school, I alluded to the fact that as it was in the days of Noah, Noah built an ark. The holy God revealed to Noah it was important to build an ark. It had never rained upon the face of the earth. Noah built that ark. It took him 120 years to build it. The ark was an Old Testament picture of salvation. Those who entered the ark would be saved. They would be spared from the calamity of the flood that was coming upon the face of the earth. Noah didn't know the day. Noah didn't know the hour that God was going to put he, his wife, his three sons and their wives, eight total people in that known world, were all that was saved. I don't know about you, but when I read that, it frightens me to think even of the millions of people that will have been saved since the beginning of time, how few that number will encompass whenever you get to how many people have been born in this world. If it's true that some statisticians and biblical interpreters have guesstimated that since the beginning of time there have been some 51 billion people born into the world, you and I presently live in a world that there's 7.4 billion people in the world tonight that's living. but in all of human history, some 50-51 plus billion people have lived. How many of those truly are born again? Let me tell you, it's one thing to know there is a God. The Bible says the devils, plural, the demons, the devils believed and trembled. It's one thing to believe there's a God. It's another thing to receive Him as Lord of our lives. But when I saw this, I could not help think Noah preached for 120 years and think of all of that known world that rejected him. They'd laugh at him. They would scoff him. They would criticize him. Look at old Noah. He's a crazy guy, isn't he? I mean, what's he talking about rain? What is this stuff? For 120 years, he preached faithfully every day as he worked on that ark, putting it together, and people rejected. Let me tell you, God extended mercy for 120 years. But on a certain day, at a certain moment, at a certain time, God said, "No, it's time." And Noah and his family went into the ark, and the door was shut. The rains began to descend, and the flood began to rise, and people began to scream. People began to get to the door. When I think about the movie Titanic that happened in 1912, and as those people scampered and hurried to try to get on some of the lifeboats, knowing that they were going down to their own watery grave, how that the terror that must have stricken them, their hearts and their minds. Let me tell you, for 2,000 years, God's mercy has walked in. And for 2,000 years, mankind has been preaching and teaching that judgment day is coming one of these days. Ken, I remember in one of the hymnals, I think it's the Blue Baptist hymnal. It was probably also in the Broadman, but we used to sing, "Are You Ready?" Remember that song, "Are You Ready? Are You Ready for the Judgment Day?" Let me tell you, for 2,000 years, Jesus went back to heaven. He's been there at the right hand of the Father. What's he doing? The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession. That means he's interceding. He's praying for you, for me, tonight. But for 2,000 years, his mercy has walked in. He has given mankind an opportunity one of these days when the last person in this church age, this age of grace, gets saved. The judgment of God will fall to a far greater degree. I believe we're seeing some of the judgments today. I mean, I think we're seeing a prelude. I think we're seeing a precursor of things which are to come. I think we're seeing some of those things. God has given mankind an opportunity to repent, and yet for 2,000 years, man still rebels against God. Notice verse 29. At the end of 12 months, Nebuchadnezzar is walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, and notice what Nebuchadnezzar does. And the king answered and said, "Is not this great Babylon?" Remember, he's up on the rooftop. Click, click, click. He's looking out over his vast kingdom. He can see for miles around. He's looking at the provinces. He's looking at the extent of real estate that he's garnered in from the wars and the spoils of other peoples and nations. And he is boasting, bragging, and says, "Is not this great Babylon which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" Notice it's all about Nebuchadnezzar. It's all about him. Let me tell you, this church is all about him. This church isn't about me. It's not about you. It's about him. Nebuchadnezzar stands on the housetop and he begins to look at the great vast expanse of his mighty Babylon. and those pronouns, I, my, and my. He is speaking here. He's boasting about all of this. He says, I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty. Notice in verse 31, while the words were still in Nebuchadnezzar's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox. And 7 periods of time, 7 years, shall pass over you, and until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. Immediately, the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, wet because he's out there in the cold. He's out there in the elements of the weather and the rain and the dews that fall. Notice, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. Can you only imagine? If you didn't cut your hair for 7 years, if you didn't trim your toenails for 7 years, if you didn't trim your fingernails for 7 years, can you only imagine how you would look? First of all, we see the coming of Nebuchadnezzar's insanity. And here we're given in these verses a summary report. This insanity that God is going to pronounce. Not only pronounce, but he is going to cause Nebuchadnezzar to understand who is in control of life. The insanity came predictably. Let me tell you what God says will happen, will happen. Let me tell you, the world may scoff. The cynics out there may chide and sneer. But I want you to know, God said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Let me tell you, whatever God says is going to happen will happen in its own time. To everything, there's a season, a time. So the insanity came predictably. God predicted it. God sent Daniel. Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar what's going to happen to his kingdom. He doesn't listen. A year has gone by. He's up on the rooftop, he's looking at the great Babylon, and he's puffed up, swelled up with incredible pride and braggadociousness. And he looks at what he has done. His insanity came predictably, but this insanity became mercifully. God had given him 12 whole months. He could have changed things. He could have repented, but he did not. The insanity came suddenly. Let me tell you, one of these days when the church is gone and the tribulation begins upon this earth, suddenly, someday, we'll be gone. We'll be out of here. The judgments of heaven will be falling upon this earth. It will come suddenly, just as it did in Noah's day. This insanity came inexcusably. God gave adequate opportunities to avoid this judgment. And where are we in America tonight? God has given adequate opportunities to this nation, to this world. God has given great, great strides of time for people to change. If you will, hold your place there and turn back a few pages to page 709. On page 709, we see in the book of Ecclesiastes, page 709, on page 709 in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. On page 709 in under that heavy dark print, those who fear God will do well. Verse 11, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, what happens? The heart of the children of men is fully set to do evil. Let me tell you, there are a lot of people tonight that think, well, I got by with it. Let me tell you, go back and ask Ahab and Jezebel if they got by with it. 2 years later, one of them gets their execution. 20 years later, the other one gets their judgment sentenced upon them. Let me tell you, just because judgment does not come speedily, it does not mean that it's not going to come. God has His own time schedule. Then notice, if you will, on page 698, Proverbs chapter 29, on page 698, notice verse 1, it's speaking here about chastisement. He who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck will suddenly be broken beyond healing. Poor Nebuchadnezzar, poor soul, had a great opportunity to do the right thing, but he chose not to do it. Secondly tonight, not only do we see the coming of Nebuchadnezzar's insanity, secondly, in verse 29 and 30, we see the cause of Nebuchadnezzar's insanity. He's boasting, he's prideful. This is what triggered God's judgment because of his lack of asking forgiveness. So he walks on top of his palace and he sees the splendor and the magnificence of Babylon. He viewed it as his own personal accomplishments. Now, he boasted of four things. Number one, he boasted about his principality, and by that I mean the kingdom of Babylon out there. He boasted about his own performance in the situation. Thirdly, he boasted about it was his power, his might. And fourthly, he boasted about his own purpose. Notice, his own purse says, I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of what? Of my majesty. Can you see Nebuchadnezzar walking on the rooftop, beating his chest, looking around, look what I've done, look what I did. And so he boasts of these four things. And then in verses 31 and 32, we see the third thing. Here's the communication about Nebuchadnezzar's insanity. Turn, if you will, to page 685. 685. And look at Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 5. Page 685. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. Everyone who's arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. We speak about abominations and we pick and choose the sins in the Bible that are abominations, but do we fail to pick the other sins that God says are abominations too? Pride. Pride is a great abomination to God. Look in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 on page 676. On 676, notice Proverbs 8, 13. The fear of the Lord, the fear there, that means the reverence. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech. Notice what God says, I hate. And then look on page 675, right the page before. on page 675, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and verse 17. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And then it goes on down and speaks more about those things. You see, Nebuchadnezzar had mental derangement. It would be called lycanthropy. Lycanthropy. It's acting like an animal, getting down like an animal on all fours. That's what happened to him. And then in verse 33 of our text on page 941 in Daniel chapter 4, the conditions of his insanity. His physical appearance, as I mentioned a few moments ago, is changed during those 7 years. He doesn't look like he did 7 years earlier. Well, do any of us? Any of y'all looked at your church pictures in a long time, the different pictures that we take through the years? Well, notice in verses 34 through 37 on page 941 here in Daniel chapter 4, the curing. What is it that was going to cure Nebuchadnezzar's insanity? Look in verse 34 to 37. At the end of the days, what days? Those seven periods of time, those 7 years that mental disability, mental derangement has overtaken Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me. Now notice what he's doing. He's not bragging about what he's done. He said, I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. Notice he says, all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? In other words, he is now praising the God of heaven, saying that nobody can stay the hand of Almighty God. If God chooses it, if God wills it, it's going to happen. Verse 36, at the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me. Now he's speaking that he's going to get his kingdom back. Well, what's happened during these 7 years? I mean, while he's out there in the elements of the weather, he's out there on all fours. He's eating grass. He's eating the vegetation of the field. His hair has grown for 7 years. His nail has grown. He looks like an eagle, an animal. He looks like a beast of the field. Who ruled that kingdom of Babylon for 7 years? Well, his co-regent happened to be his son, Evil-Merodach. He would rule it during that time. And then when Nebuchadnezzar's mental awareness, his reasoning came back to him, Nebuchadnezzar is returned this kingdom. My counselors and my Lord sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right, his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he's able to humble. The interesting thing is, what a tragedy to think that he could have bypassed all of this judgment. Had he listened to the voice of the Almighty, but he was filled with arrogance and with pride. We see that all over the world today. Leaders, people in high positions, where they're filled with pride and arrogance, thinking what they've accomplished are their own accomplishments. It's all about them. Well, let me tell you, the God of heaven is able to do whatever he chooses to do for however long he chooses to do it, for with whomever he chooses to do it, for whatever purpose he chooses to do it. He doesn't have to call down to earth and ask NASA and you and me if it's okay. Let me tell you, NASA, we've got a problem. We've got a problem this morning in America, this evening. We've got a problem all over the world tonight. Do you believe that? Do you agree with that? Let me tell you, no wonder so many people would like to debunk the book of Daniel. They don't want to believe the truth. And herein lies truth. What was it that took this situation to bring Nebuchadnezzar to his senses? There were four areas of restoration. His reason returns to him. He's returned to his throne. And by the way, according to historians, they tell us that he only lived one more year after his mental acuity came back to him. He only lived a year. His son, Evil-Merodach, would then resume the heirship and the rulership of Babylon. But his reason returns. He's returned to the throne. He's returned and his respect is restored. And his restoration of rule came about. Let me tell you, the God of heaven rules in the kingdoms of men tonight. It would behoove this world to realize there is a God in heaven and he rules in the kingdoms of men. Amen. God bless you for being here on this Sunday evening. What a great crowd. Would you stand as we pray tonight? If you need to come as Ken comes tonight, we'll have a verse of invitation. Maybe someone here needs to make a decision. Maybe someone needs to come and join the church or give their life to Christ. Would you just bow your head, let the Holy Spirit work and lead. Father, thank you for what you've taught us thus far through the book of Daniel. Father, it does my heart joy tonight to realize that where you don't control, you can step into the picture any moment and sovereignly do that which honors and pleases you for your kingdom purposes and for your will. Father, when we look at this, your mercy has been extended to all generations. And yet, God, we just continue life day after day, week after week, year after year, going to and fro throughout the earth. And Father, so many are rejecting the truth of your word and saying the Bible is antiquated, it's outdated, it no longer applies. It was for a different age and a different time. Oh God, how sad that people have determined in their heart. The demons of hell have led people astray through Satan's leadership. But God, just as sure as the lightning comes from the east to the west, oh God, your word is an everlasting word. Father, I pray, there's someone that needs to make a decision for you, God, this is your invitation. We've just been the instrument through which the word has been explained tonight as the Holy Spirit gives us utterance. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the love of your word. Help us, oh God, we would grow in our lives spiritually. We thank you in Christ's name.